Hi, everyone. I'm Debbie Statler, Editor-in-Chief of Provider Magazine, the flagship publication of the American Healthcare Association and the National Center for Assisted Living. I'd like to welcome you to this episode of Perspectives in Long-Term Care, a monthly podcast produced by ACA and NCAL. Each month, we'll talk with long-term care and assisted living professionals about the opportunities and challenges impacting the long-term and post-acute care profession. Today, my guest is Deb Bielek. Welcome, Deb.
Thank you, Debbie. I'm so happy to be here.
Deb is a speech-language pathologist and serves as the therapy, education, and programs resource within Sign Services. She has spent most of her career in the post-acute care industry, working in various roles as both a clinician and leader. In her current role, she provides support and training to more than 200 post-acute care facilities. Deb, let's start at the beginning. How did you begin your career in therapy services and get started in the long-term care industry?
Yeah, it's a funny story, Debbie, because I actually was in college. I wanted to be a veterinarian. And my dad one day said, "You're going to be in school a long time." So I shifted to business, and I was in the business school, and I was still drawn to more of a medical profession area. And so I did some research and discovered speech-language pathology and was really intrigued with all the brain injury and the neurocognitive and communicative pieces that go along with that. And I dove in and joined the health sciences group and ended up getting my master's degree and going into the hospitals. And in the mid 80s, the hospitals were doing the rehab there as well. So we would see patients from acute care into rehab at the hospital. A lot of times with the brain, you may have patients for 30 or 60 days that you're treating them on the inpatient side before discharging them back to the community. I ended up moving a few years later. I went with one of my mentors into the inpatient rehab space, and it was new. It was the late 80s. It was a newer model. And actually, we were under a grant for the beginning of freestanding post-acute rehab hospital. And it was all, again, neuro-type patients, older adults, young, middle-aged adults, the spectrum. And so it was fun to start a place like that. After about 5 years, they got purchased by a company that also had contract therapy for skilled nursing. So I stayed for a while with the rehab hospital, but then I got intrigued with the opportunity in skilled nursing. And as I moved in there, it was brand new to me. So I brought what I knew, which was great rehab, working with great therapists and great nurses and great physicians. I was in Arizona at the time, and we had a lot of managed healthcare starting to come in, if you can believe it or not, in the 80s and the early 90s. And so when I moved into the skilled nursing arena, I was working with a super innovative operator and then great director of nursing, and they actually pulled me in as a partner and taught me so much about skilled nursing and the regulatory environment. And I taught them a lot about rehab and all the possibilities. I had some connections from the managed care days, some case managers I worked with. So I called them and said, "Hey, I've got this amazing team. Send us some of your patients." Up to that point, our skilled nursing facility had been primarily taking care of our own long-term care residents who had had a medical situation, went to the hospital, and came back. And so that was our short stay population in the late 80s, early 90s. And once we started getting in touch with the managed care companies, they started giving us opportunities. And we created an amazing outcome-based rehab team. We had 24 therapists after our third year working with us full time, and we were serving, I think we had gotten up to about 50 or 60 short stay patients, as well as our long-term care population. So it was such a beautiful introduction for me to skilled nursing, because there were no real barriers to being the best rehab we could be. That particular facility ended up making a decision to go in-house with rehab, and I worked with our company to allow my team and myself to be able to stay if we chose, and if we interviewed, were offered, and chose. Most of us stayed. I have never looked back. I love working with the seniors. I'm now a senior, so now they're my peers. But I've loved working with our population. I just am learning all the time and amazed at what we can do when we all put our minds together. So for me, it's been a beautiful, amazing journey.
We're grateful that we get to take advantage of your expertise. But I was struck as you were describing your journey about how much change there has been in the landscape for therapy services. So where are we today? Give us kind of the lay of the land for therapy and rehab services. Do skilled nursing facilities have in-house therapists, or is that sort of past at this point?
Yeah, it's funny because there are a couple of organizations or affiliated companies out there that do have in-house therapy in their skilled nursing facilities. But for the most part, I think contract therapy continues to still be alive and a way to go. And the nice thing about contract therapy, if you're a small operator, this is your first time really running a skilled nursing facility, is that they bring so much expertise from that therapy side. I was blessed to join this organization that I'm with, Ensign Services, in 2006. And it's been one of the hardest jobs I've ever had, because we have a service center. We don't have a corporate office where you go ask someone for permission. As a service center, you're really working to find a way to serve the field. And so when they feel red tape or bottleneck, you have to look in the mirror and go, gosh, where am I missing this? Because I have a whole service center of partners, legal, compliance, business office, clinical, et cetera, who are there to help us find our way with those facilities. So to me, in-house has been completely the way to go. When I was with the contract company, I felt like I was part of the bricks and mortar of that facility, yet I really answered to someone else who told me, gosh, you guys need to back off on this and do more of that, because the way that they were reimbursed or something. I've been away from working on the contract therapy side for many years, and 30 years now. That being said, I think that there's value in both, but for our organization and the field-driven culture, meaning that each affiliated facility is really looking to serve their particular population in their particular community, in-house just makes complete sense, because they'll have the therapists that are looking to create the programs that are going to best serve their population versus what maybe a corporate office might tell them to do. So I think it's really made the most sense for us, but there's definitely value in contract therapy as well for some operators.
You mentioned a few of the different areas, and I feel like therapy services really touches so many different parts of senior care right now. Reimbursement models, it touches quality measures, surveys, outcomes, all these different pieces. So let's take a look at each one. We've all watched the switch to PDPM, the patient-driven payment model. What is therapy's role under PDPM?
Therapy's role is still to ensure that we're optimizing the outcomes for the patients that we serve. And PDPM is really designed for that shorter stay Medicare Part A patient. Of course, we have a number of Medicare Advantage programs that are also following a PDPM model. It's a neat model when you really look at it. It's designed to reimburse based on the condition of the patient and looking at a variety of factors. So our role in therapy is still to serve that patient in the best possible way to achieve the best possible outcome for that inpatient stay. And ideally, that patient's returning to the community or returning to their living environment at their highest, best level. So that's our role overall. But in our affiliated facilities, what you're going to find is therapy's really taking a leadership role as well with making sure we really understand the coding. We, first of all, we understand all five of the PDPM categories. So not just our therapy buckets, but we're understanding all five. And having a good understanding of that RAI manual and the coding definitions for that MDS, which is such a comprehensive assessment tool. And oftentimes you'll hear people say, that's the nursing tool, but not with us. With us, we say it's an IDT assessment tool, and we want to bring value and expertise in helping to make sure we're getting all of that coding right to ensure that we're being paid the way we should be paid based on the condition of the patient. And also making sure that we've got it accurate and correct. And we bring a big value in that. Our therapy leaders, I feel like, are very meaningful contributors to a technical process where we're looking at that patient and looking at all of the technical coding pieces to make sure that they're right. And then also very valuable contributors to the clinical process and being able to look at that patient, look at those conditions that are preventing that patient from getting to that next level of care safely and effectively and efficiently, and working together with nursing to help bring our expertise into that. So we do a lot with helping develop the comprehensive care plan for that patient. We want the therapist who might be in that technical meeting to be able to read and analyze and determine the different assessments from all of the therapy documentation besides just their own, so that we can be really valuable contributors to that clinical goal setting and process.
Speaking of coding, CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, are often changing the MDS, the minimum data set. And now CMS is replacing Section G with GG, which this sounds like we're going to get into the technical part here. What is that change going to do for therapy services and coding, and how does that work?
So we were excited when Section GG was actually added to the MDS a few years back, because it was a way for us to really measure the effectiveness of our rehab programs, our therapy programs. It is an interdisciplinary assessment, so we need to ensure that our physical and occupational therapists are also collaborating with our nurses to ensure that we're getting that just right assessment based on the typical function of that patient during a 3-day period. So now they're taking GG and they're making it the replacement for Section G. And while I like that we're utilizing one measure to look at function, we still need to be doing a lot of education with nursing and with our CNAs who are starting to think a different language with GG, because we're looking at when they're having touches with the patient and being able to explain what that touch looked like, how much assistance did that patient need in a whole new language. So therapy's role with that is really strongly educational. And then also, again, going back and looking and making sure that we've got the right coding, and where something looks funny, again, being able to go back and work side by side with that particular nurse or CNA and see what they're seeing. Because sometimes what we're seeing might not translate to what's happening on the floor. So in the long run, I think that this is going to be a good change. We just have more to do to make sure that it's accurate. We also have a number of our states that will be using the GG scoring as part of their case mix. So it becomes really important from that perspective as well.
Excellent. It's always nice to hear that a change is pretty positive when it comes along. How do therapy and rehab services play a part in things like surveys, quality measures, positive outcomes for long-term care residents? It really seems like the therapy touches all of those in some way or another.
Really, therapy does play a big role in all of those pieces. And I don't know that we're always realizing how much we can impact, but we bring expertise to many areas, such as preventing incidents and accidents by helping ensure that we have a patient or a resident set up safely in their room, being able to ensure that the patient has the right equipment or the right environmental factors, the right support to prevent things like falls. Yes, and being sure that from the skin perspective that we've got the right positioning in place, the right splint, the right fit, the right wear structure, et cetera. And we're communicating and educating on the nursing side always to help and make sure those things happen. We also bring expertise to healing, wound healing, for example. If we have a patient who comes to us and they've been admitted to our facility with a wound of some sort, we have a lot of physical therapists who are actually certified in wound care and wound healing, and they can actually come in and provide care to help heal that wound and work collaboratively with nursing. So those are just some of the ways, but where we make the biggest impact is when we coordinate and collaborate with nursing on our areas of expertise, and maybe we even own the system. And so our nurse leader partner will teach us, we have to be sure all of these documentation pieces are in place. And here's how you can help with looking at doing an audit. For example, we're seeing some of our greatest survey results when the nurse partner has also asked a therapist or a therapy leader to own some of those pieces for survey. I just got an email from one of our COOs from one of our facilities in Texas about how our therapists were actually helping with rounds during the survey process. The nurse had taught them how to do rounds and watch for things and talk with our CNAs and do teaching and training if anything needed to happen along the way. And they had a wonderful result. And actually the surveyor commented on the collaborative nature of the facility. So I think there's so many things we can do. We've created a term called One Clinical. And the idea behind that is that we are all on one clinical team to serve that patient or that resident. And how we partner is our greatest opportunity for success.
That sounds amazing. I love that the therapists themselves bring so much expertise and capability, but really the key to unlocking that is the partnership and the collaboration. Because you're right, you can bring all of these skills and things that you can contribute, but if you're not working into the system and the way things are being done, then some of that will get not utilized. So I love that focus on collaboration. The payer environment, that has no lack of changes as well. We've Medicare versus managed care, institutional special needs programs called I-SNPs, value-based care. I could go on. Where will all of these different models take therapy services? Where is that impacting therapy services?
It's really funny because we came off a meeting from last week and our managed care therapy resource was providing us some data. And from Q1 of 2022 to Q4 of 2023, we saw a greater than 50% increase in managed care.
Wow.
And the payer environment has continued to really change. And we've seen in our organization, the gap between Medicare and managed care is closing faster than I think people anticipated. So it's really here. We've got really strong relationships with managed care companies sending their patients to us. And it's really created the need for us to continue to evaluate our programs and look at ways to innovate to really ensure that those patients are getting the care they need. Sometimes we'll see with managed care that case manager wants to move them through our system a little more quickly than we want to. And it's okay because they're following them and making sure they're getting the services they need along the way. One of the things that's led to is us looking at outpatient therapy services and how we can really be a solution to those patients that might move through our inpatient stay more quickly. We want to ensure that they're going to continue on that path to be able to function at their highest possible level and really live their highest best in that community. So with the outpatient programs, the patient has the option to come back to us for outpatient therapy services. And we've worked hard to also get the managed care contracts for our outpatient services as well. And it's allowed us to really focus on, again, getting that patient to their highest possible level. We also have seen great value with our outpatient programs in serving some of the assisted living residents in the community, people who live in retirement facilities, helping bring services to keep them functioning at their highest possible level as well. We've actually had assisted living leaders reach out to us and say, hey, do you provide outpatient therapy? So it made us realize we were missing an opportunity to really serve those communities in the healthcare areas where we operate. So that's been a great partnership as well. Again, just educating the community, showing them that we're here. We have a very unique expertise and a very special expertise that you won't find in every outpatient center. We really understand things that some of our senior population face and ways to help them overcome something that's declining with them. For example, they might just be having strength decline in their ankles, but that can lead to turning your ankle and falling and potentially breaking your hip. Simple strengthening programs. And we also, with our outpatient, we've been able to do a lot of wellness programs like Sit and Be Fit, or we have a couple of our communities where we're providing rock steady boxing, which is a technique specifically to help patients who have some movement disorders, perhaps are suffering from Parkinson's disease, and it helps keep them moving in ways that are going to help them stay stronger longer.
What a brilliant opportunity that therapists have taken advantage of. You're taking the therapy services, spreading it out even farther over the continuum of care to the point where it's could be preventative, like those wellness things that you were mentioning. And you're still also helping support and follow the patients after they leave an in-person type of facility. It's just, it just becomes such a amount of support that I think is undervalued right now. With all of these changes, with all of these areas of expertise, therapists are such a key part of the care process. And it sounds like collaboration and teamwork is really the part that makes a difference in utilizing all of those advantages of therapists. How do you make that collaboration and that teamwork really strong? How do you work with all of these different facility leadership, nursing staff, managed care case managers? How do you have that collaboration across so many pieces?
That is just a beautiful question, because I feel like that is where our greatest focus really is from the therapy perspective. We don't want to be operating over here in a silo. We want to be integrated and part of the solution. And we are continually sitting down with our nurse leader partners and looking at how we can be better for them, better for the resident, better for the facility, just a solution all the way around. One of our core values in our organization is passion for learning. And one of the other things that we really strive to do is help people have those tools and resources so that they are living their superpower, so to speak, their thing that drives them, their thing that brings them joy and that they're really good at. And we love creating experts. So clinical experts, leadership, people who can really look at processes and help us be better with process management. So it starts with really sitting down with our nurse partners and our administrators and offering to be part of a solution. The other thing that's really neat and unique about our organization is that I mentioned earlier that we're field driven, and we truly are. So the way a therapy team is integrated and interacting in Tennessee might be different than how our therapy team is interacting in Arizona. And so really looking at the strengths of both and sharing those great best practices that we learn over in Arizona with Tennessee. They can be adapted, they can be changed, but we're always looking at our results, looking at our great stories, looking at the 5-star awesome survey facilities and seeing what are we doing differently in therapy there versus over here where maybe we have some opportunities, and we learn from one another. And I think that's why we're called resources, is we aren't there to tell someone how to do it. We're there to open pathways to different approaches. And we're always learning. Like, we'll learn a great idea over here that we want to innovate to fit the needs over there, but it might take bringing in more expert training. It might take flying that person from over here to over there to do some teaching. But that's what we do, is we're always innovating and sharing great results and pathways on how we did that.
That's wonderful. I love the passion for learning. I feel like that's so important in today's environment, to not stagnate, but to really learn and share and get everybody working towards those great goals. The phrase goes, the only constant is change. So where do you see rehab and therapy services in 10 years? All these changes will continue, new changes that we never expect. So where do you see the profession in a decade?
Yes, I know that there will always be needs. The human condition presents itself that we will always have needs for skilled therapy services. But I do see us evolving more and more, and we've been going through this kind of change curve already into prevention and wellness and keeping our long-term care residents functioning at their highest possible level so that they don't have an adverse event that requires hospitalization, hopefully, something that we can solve there. So I think wellness is huge, and our outpatient therapy programs are actually really touching on this very strongly. Through, I mentioned earlier that we're doing some work with assisted living, and we're seeing the opportunity to do wellness programs with them as well. A lot of times, assisted living partners have tremendous wellness programs, and just adding some of that therapy touch or therapy flair can even bring some new ideas and some new ways to approach things. So wellness and keeping people functioning at their highest best as long as possible, education and being able to educate people. Sometimes people will do so much better if they fully understand their disease process. I mentioned Parkinson's earlier, and Parkinson's is a good example because we know that Parkinson's is a degenerative disease process, but we also know that exercise and power moves can help slow down that physical progression a lot of times. So if we can educate our patients and our seniors on different ways to stay stronger and healthier, that's going to also play a big role. I also see us just continuing to look at different and innovative ways to treat all of the different conditions that are out there.
Yes, absolutely. And we know technology will be in there somewhere as all of that changes and shifts as well. Deb, this has been a wonderful conversation, and your passion and dedication for this sector is obvious in the way that you talk about it. So thank you again for joining us and sharing your excitement and expertise.
Debbie, thank you so much. It was really a pleasure to be here.
For more information, visit the Provider Magazine website at providermagazine.com. Search for articles on therapy or rehabilitation services. ACA NCAL also has resources on the various reimbursement models, including PDPM. Go to ahcancal.org and click on the reimbursement tile for more information. Thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of Perspectives in Long-Term Care. Join us each month as we discuss issues that impact the long-term and post-acute care profession. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Take care.